Our next storyteller.
Hello and welcome to The Narrators. This podcast collects stories from our live events where people share true stories based on a theme.
In honor of Father's Day, today we're sharing a story from our own Sydney Crane. This was Sydney's first time telling a story at The Narrators. Her story was recorded live on February 15th, 2017 at Bumpboard Theater in Denver, Colorado. The theme of the show was red-handed.
So I think this fits okay in with the theme. We're going to give it a go. So my story starts, I'm 11 years old, and I'm hanging around the house. The thing that I remember the most is that I'm like wearing this tie-dye neon blue and green like spaghetti strap shirt, and like I love this shirt. Like I think I look so good in this shirt. And you know, I got it like at back to school shopping, and I've been wearing it like all the time. And it's really tight on my boobs, which like at the time were the shape of bug bites. And it like also accentuated the little pockets of fat that like collected at my armpits, you know, and like dug into my shoulders. And I just like, I felt really good. I felt really attractive in this shirt. And it's a Saturday afternoon. I'm just like putzing around. I'm traipsing around the house in this shirt, feeling good. My dad's out back. He's working on his car slash like cussing at his car. And whatever it is that I'm doing, I don't really remember. I stop and because I have to pee. So I go to the bathroom and I go to pee and sit down, you know, pee, wipe. And then when I bring my hand up, I'm met with just a wad of bright red toilet paper in the palm of my hand. And I start freaking out. My face gets all hot and my hands are shaking and I'm just frozen inside because I know that starting your period for the first time is awkward for everyone who has to do that. But I feel like my situation was a little bit more awkward because I didn't have like a sister to go talk to or a mom to go talk to. I had to go out back and find my dad who was like cursing at his car and tell him that I had started my period. And so my mom and my dad had me really young. They were like in their late teens and they had a pretty short marriage and a custody battle that I don't really remember. But after that, I landed with my dad and I was like five. And my mom was a drug addict and she was really young and just like not equipped to be a mother, you know. And my dad, in contrast, really like was very responsible and rose to the occasion and became my primary caretaker like when I was five. And before I go on, I want to make it clear, like I love my dad so much. He's a great guy. I love him to pieces, but he just had absolutely no idea what he was doing raising a little girl. He was and still is a punk. And like he named me after Sid Vicious. And he was like covered in homemade tattoos that he got in like some, I don't even know if you call them homemade, you know, tattoos that you get in someone's garage in Oklahoma. But most importantly, he expressed his emotions towards me and like everyone else around him in three main ways, which were sarcasm with like a special fondness for the word stupid. The second was angry yelling. And the third were love you byes, which they were like I love yous, but they were always really rushed because like you could tell he was just uncomfortable saying it. And it just, so it always morphed into one word, which was love you bye. And it only happened like at the end of a hug, you know, a really quick hug, or at the end of a phone call. And that was always great because then we didn't even have to be like in the same room with each other when we were expressing our emotions. So like all of this aggression and this like avoidant behavior translated into some really weird moments when I was a kid. So like, for instance, I kept a really messy room when I was a child. And I remember one time I refused to clean it with anything but like my toes, like picking things up with my toes. And my dad got so mad and like flipped me off and yelled, fuck you at me. And then like stormed out of the house. And another time he I like watched Grease a lot, the movie Grease a lot for a while. And I remember I asked him what a virgin was. And like at first he just acted like he didn't hear me. And then when I like kept going and asked again, he told me that he didn't know. And so like all of that as a kid, like kids are smart, you know, you pick up on stuff. And I picked up on that, and like I loved my dad and I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable ever. So I just started avoiding all of the tender stuff that I knew would make him squirm, you know? And then that same stuff started making me squirm too. So I started becoming like way more comfortable being guarded and cold and thick-skinned all of the time and not really looking anyone in the eye. And so like moving back to this moment where I started my period, we're in the bathroom, you're all there with me, I've started my period, and you know, I'm freaking out. I don't know how I'm gonna tell my dad. I don't know how he's gonna handle it. I know that my best friend's mom took her out for like tampons and ice cream when she started her first period. So like, what was my dad, who wasn't even going to tell me like what a virgin was? Like, what was he going to do? You know? And I remember I was washing my hands and like, you know, I'm freaking out. I'm in the bathroom. I'm washing my hands. And I remember like catching a glimpse of myself in the mirror in the shirt, in the like mature, sexy shirt that I thought was so cool. And it just ended up, it like turned into this really threatening image because, you know, I was like, oh man, like I look grown up. I look so good. And like, also I've started my period. Like I'm a woman. And like, you know, my dad can't handle that. Like I don't know what he's going to do. I can't tell him. And so, like, I latch onto this shirt as, like, the problem area. And I'm like, you know, if I go out there, like, in this shirt, like, he's not going to be able to deal. Like, I gotta figure out what I'm going to do. And somehow I decide that, like, you know, what I need to do is to make myself appear as less than I really am, you know, like, as less than a woman. So I go downstairs and I go to my really messy room and I find like this Minnie Mouse shirt that's on the ground. And I put the Minnie Mouse shirt, I change before I go outside to see him, you know? I change into this Minnie Mouse shirt because I think that that's gonna make me more docile and palatable for my dad. And I go outside to talk to him. And the thing is, like, I never really, like, I don't remember ever being mad at him for acting the way that he did about emotions, for being so cold and, like, teaching me these, like, weird patterns. I always, even when I was younger, I sensed that it was not out of, like, malice, but it was out of fear. And that same fear of being too vulnerable has really stuck with me. It's a big part of who I am. And, you know, it makes me lose my words and it makes me freeze up and it makes me be stubborn and unkind to people that I really love. And if I give it too much power, it can make me feel incredibly isolated. And I'm sure that it can do the same thing for my dad. So, that's like a big reason why I love this show so much, you know, because it's all about like being here together and being honest about like awkward moments or funny moments, whatever you want to do. But it just like forces us to be honest together. And it prizes those moments that I was taught to fear when I was younger. Because the thing is, I went outside in my Minnie Mouse t-shirt and I told my dad that I started my period and it was fucking fine. Like everything was fine, you know? He like paced upstairs for a while and I could like hear him and he like called all of his friends and he was like, you know, Sydney like started her period. It's like, I need to go get some Tampads. And like, He goes to the store and he like gets me the tampons, and I don't correct him because I like, good job, Dad. You know, I don't want to like bring him down. And then we had like a really awkward high five, and and you know, like we were a little closer after that. And the thing is, I spent like all of this energy trying to like tiptoe around like being caught in this vulnerable situation with my dad, but it still happened. I still had to deal with it, and it was better, you know, actually like looking in the eye and dealing with it. And I just always try to remember that, you know, we're all a little scared of being vulnerable, and that I just always want to push myself to be in that place, even if it scares the shit out of me, because I think that that's better than the alternative. And it makes me feel more alive, and I feel like that's why we're all here, man. So that's the end of my story.
The Narrators was created by Andrew Orvidal and is produced by me, Ron Doyle, Sydney Crane, and Aaron Rollman, with help from Robert Rutherford, Scott Carney, and Jesse Witten. Karen Wachtel edited and mixed this episode. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Bumpport Theater Company, Illegal Pete's, From the Hip Photo, and Great Divide Brewing Company. Our theme music is by Whalehawk. We'd also like to thank Megagem, who provided the outro music you're listening to right now. As always, a huge shout out to fans just like you who attend our live monthly shows, which take place every third Wednesday of the month at Bumpport Theater in Denver, Colorado. For more information about our storytellers or the narrators, visit thenarrators.org and find, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.